Hare Krishna.
Jaya Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balabha Girivade Dhari Jaya Gopi Janna Balabha Girivade Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Avanna Chari Yamuna Tira Avanna Chari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada,
Śrīla Prabhupada ki jai.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Śrīmati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gunavana Pichayane Navishishinare Pasta Jade Shatarane.
All glories to Śrīla Prabhupada.
So we're going to read the 29th verse of the 7th chapter. Knowledge of the Absolute. Jara marana mokshaya mamashtriyayantiye tebamatadvidushisman Ajatma kamachakinam. Hey, you want to shut? Would you please shut that door there?
Oh.
Just so it's kind of noisy out there. Thank you, sir. Jara, from old age, marana, and death. Mukshaya, for the purpose of liberation. Mam, me. Ashritya, taking shelter of, yatanti, endeavor, yea, all those who, te, such persons, Brahma, Brahman, tat, actually, vidu, they know, Shrishnam, everything, ajyat, Adyatman, transcendental, karma activities, cha also, akilam entirely. Translation. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Birth, death, old age, and diseases affect this material body, but not the spiritual body. There is no birth, death, old age, and disease for the spiritual body. So one who attains a spiritual body becomes one of the associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages in eternal devotional service and is really liberated. Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. It is said that one should understand that he is Brahman, spirit soul. This Brahman conception of life is also in devotional service as described in this verse. The pure devotees are transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform, and they know everything about transcendental activities. Four kinds of impure devotees who engage themselves in the transcendental service of the Lord achieve their respective goals, and by the grace of the Supreme Lord, when they are fully Krishna conscious, they actually enjoy spiritual association with the Supreme Lord. But those who are worshippers of demigods never reach the Supreme Lord in his supreme planet. Even the less intelligent Brahman-realized persons cannot reach the supreme planet of Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan. Only persons who engage, who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, Mam Ashritya, are actually entitled to be called Brahman, because they are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Such persons have no misgivings about Krishna, and they are factually Brahman. Omagina tamarandasya gananjana salakaya chakshu umanitam nina tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So, it's explaining here, we'll read the translation one more time, actually. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring from liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. So, actually, aham brahmasmi, we are actually Brahman. This is explaining here that those who take refuge in devotional service and come to the level of knowing everything about transcendental activities, they uncover their real nature and they are no longer affected by illusion. They're transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform. And they know about transcendental activities. We are always Brahman. It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the soul is like, it's similar to the air carrying aromas. The air contacts aromas and it carries them. Aromas are actually come from the earth element. This is understood, you know, in biology also today. But the air doesn't actually develop the quality of earth, and it doesn't actually smell. It just carries the aroma for some time, and then it drops it off. Similarly, the eternal spirit soul is always a pure eternal spirit soul. We cannot mix with the material elements. To use the big word, it's ontologically impossible because we are eternal spirit soul. We become covered by the material energy, due to our desire, we develop a false ego, and that is the most pervasive covering. It's the most pervasive element in material existence, and the most subtle. It's impossible for the living entity. It's impossible to get off of the false ego, except for engaging in activities of glorifying Krishna. So even if people have impure motives, when they engage themselves in the transcendental service of the Lord, they get their goals, they get their material goals, and then they become fully Krishna conscious, and they actually enjoy spiritual association with the Supreme Lord. So even a person who understands Brahman, who understands themselves, even the less intelligent Brahman-realized person cannot reach the supreme planet of Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan. The only way to actually do that is to engage in pure devotional service. And so, in one sense, these activities that we're engaging in are of a spiritual nature. The holy name is a spiritual sound vibration where we are hearing, we are engaging in actual transcendental activities, but we do not have full realization of it at this point. So it says here that those who are actually performed in Krishna consciousness are actually entitled to be called Brahman because they're trying to reach the Krishna planet. The Brahman effulgence, we're always in Brahman. Sometimes when we talk about the spiritual world and the material world, we talk about the material world, material existence, being encaged in a material body. And we talk about Brahman realization, being in Brahman. And we talk about the spiritual world. But these are not exactly geographical locations. Because the spirit soul is always Brahman. The living entities who are... the Brahman is actually... Krishna is the source of the Brahman. The Brahman effulgence lights up the spiritual world. That Brahman effulgence is actually the living entities. The living entities actually light up the spiritual world. So we're doing that. Those living entities who concentrate on Brahman and not on Krishna, they are conscious of the Brahman only. But their nature is always Brahman. The living entities who are engaged in material consciousness, they are not conscious of themselves as spirit, soul, Brahman, or conscious of them of Krishna, but they still are Brahman. They are eternal spirit souls. So being in Brahman, we talk a lot about being in Brahman in the Brahma Jyoti, but it's not that... we're ever not really there. I mean, it's a matter of a state of our consciousness. How conscious are we of Krishna? if we're focusing on illusion, then we're said to be in the material world. But it's more like we're in material consciousness because ultimately everything is Krishna's energy. So it's saying here that actually Brahman, only a person who's actually trying to get to this Krishna's planet is actually can actually be entitled to be called Brahman. The activity of the spirit soul, the real nature of the spirit soul, is to be engaged in Krishna's service. That is actually what Brahman is. Again, the Brahman effulgence, it emanates from Krishna. Krishna is the source. In other words, Vrindavan is lit up by the effulgence of Krishna's body. But it's also explained that the Brahman is comprised of all the living entities. So the Brahman is actually not just a glowing light. Brahman is actually comprised of jiva souls engaged in pure loving devotional service to Krishna. Those who we call Brahman, we have jargon, we have certain words that mean certain things. We have to realize we're using them for specific meanings, and they don't always, there's a conventional way. We tend to mean something when we say something, but it may not, the exact words we're using, we know what we're saying, but the exact words we're using could sometimes need to be more clarified, because the so-called Brahman realized, we talk about Brahman real, you know, being in Brahman realization, it's focusing on just the light aspect of Krishna. And it's really not the real nature. It really hasn't totally gotten to the real nature of the living entity. It has some truth there. We are understanding the eternal aspect, the consciousness, it is not full realization. It's actually in a state, it's actually a fallen state. Srila Prabhupada describes that, that when one falls from the Brahma Jyoti, that's another thing that we say like that, but actually, you're already fallen. If you're forgetful of Krishna, you know, people in this so-called Brahman realization, they're focusing, you know, they're ignoring Krishna. They're focusing on this light. So it's a state of, in one sense, compared to where we are now, it's a stage of realization. It's a stage of understanding the truth. But Prabhupada says here, only those who are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet can be called Brahman, because the soul is not only sat, or conscious, it is also chit and ananda. It knows that there is a Krishna. Chit means understanding, intelligence, understanding that I am a conscious being, I am part and parcel of the supreme conscious being. And ananda, that gives us intelligence. So there's consciousness, there's intelligence, and ananda is bliss. That is also correlates with spiritual form. We have a spiritual identity. And this is actually full understanding of our real self. So, Brahman realization is a beginning. It's a preliminary stage. It's something we want to attain, but it's not any type of goal whatsoever, because it's still a stage of forgetfulness of reality, of what we really are. We can say we are Brahman, but we're also more than that. We're not just lights shining. We're actually engaged. We're meant to be engaged in transcendental loving service to Krishna. That's our real identity. That's the ananda. So, the persons who are actually want to get free from old age and death, ultimately they need to take to devotional service. Krishna says here, they are actually Brahman. And because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities, that's actually Brahman. So when we do this, that's what Krishna consciousness is. So we're imperceptibly on the transcendental level. By engaging in Krishna's service, these are not actually activities. They're not actually material activities. We don't have full realization of it at this point. But chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is not a material sound vibration. activities of Krishna consciousness are not material activities. We just don't have sufficient understanding of it at this point. So, what else do we have here? The pure devotees are transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform, and they know everything about transcendental activities. So it's very difficult to understand this logically, actually. It's beyond logic. What is an eternal activity? This is why it's very, the philosophers who try to figure it all out with their own mind, they see, okay, yes, I have a material body, and sometimes they can understand, okay, I'm the consciousness, I'm distinct from the material body. So the material body, in material existence, I have individuality, I have personality, I have various qualities. And material activities exist as time, past, present, and future. So in the transcendental world, all these things must be absent. So it's very difficult to understand transcendental activities, eternal activities, because activity means change. You know, you're moving. I mean, any act, you know, you change. You go, you move, you think, you're going from one place to another. Something is changing, your mind is changing. So how can it be eternal? Well, it's beyond our ability to actually describe and understand with the mundane mind. It's actually impossible. That's why Maharaj Pariksit asked Sukadeva Goswami, you know, the material mind, everything, you know, material words are productions of the material energy, and they're heard through the material senses and understood with the material mind. So how in this way can people understand transcendence? And the point is that it can only be done when we're hearing from a person who is totally on the transcendental platform. Then that hearing is itself a spiritual activity, because it's a platform of surrendering. We're actually engaged, the senses are engaged properly in hearing transcendental truth. So it's a very good question. It comes to the point of, so how we can't actually understand Krishna through our own material mind and intelligence, our own endeavor. Because when we do that, when you try to make our own endeavor, that's the false ego. That's the whole reason we're here, is because we think we can do something independently of Krishna. We can only understand, and it's also an offensive, because you want to try to understand God. How do you want to understand God? You've got to go and ask them about them. If you want to understand somebody, you have to go and ask them about themselves. You have to get to know them. You have to be their friend. And then they will reveal their self to you. Then they will become your friend also. They will reciprocate. If you want to just know somebody and just speculate and not have a relationship with them and just find out on your own all about them, that's more like an investigation. That's not the way to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Brahma even says he is omniscient in this material world. His intelligence, his body is pure intelligence. He knows everything, all the thoughts and activities of all the living entities in this universe. This universe, which is going on for 311 trillion years, unlimited, I mean, not unlimited technically, but basically speaking, unfathomable amounts of living entities. And he says, I cannot understand Krishna with my own intelligence. So therefore, it should be understood, nobody can understand Krishna with their own material intelligence. So, but it, Srila Prabhupada gives, you know, we can just become absorbed in it. We can just practice it. We can actually come to the realization of it. We can see the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and other devotees that are engaged in serving Krishna. And we can just take to it. That's what Krishna says in the key, one of the key verses, you know, Aham savasya prabhava matam savam pavatate iti matva bhajante mam buddhabhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who fully know this, engage in my devotional service, and worship me with all their hearts. That's maybe not exactly the technical, every word for word, but it's the gist of it. Those who are wise, we don't have to. We try to become wise on our own. People who try to understand. I had a friend, a bhakta, who's talked to several different people. About how difficult, how confusing the Bhagavad Gita is. It's because they're trying to understand it on their own. You know, without taking, the conclusion is already there. Aham savasya prabhava, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. That's the definition of the absolute truth, that from which everything emanates. Everything emanates from me, Krishna says. So the wise, those who know this, those who know where everything comes from, what do? They engage in devotional service and worship Krishna with all their hearts. We don't have to sit around and think about the conclusion. We just do what they do, you see. Then we will gradually also develop that same understanding and realization of Krishna as the absolute truth. You know, we don't have to investigate it for ourselves. The conclusion is given in the Bhagavad Gita. So we just, under the direction of other great souls, we also engage in pure devotional service and act on the level of those who are wise, and eventually the wisdom will come. So it's actually really not so much gaining wisdom as it is becoming relieved from ignorance. The false ego, which tends to be very difficult to overcome, it's impossible to overcome it without glorifying Krishna. So we're trying to actually become free from this covering, this ignorance of our real identity, this rejection actually of the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada describes the absolute truth, that from which everything emanates. So a person may ask, well, what about evil? Okay. This material world has so many imperfections. Does that also emanate from God? How can evil emanate from God? How can my ignorance emanate from God? And then the reason for that is because within the absolute truth, we exist, we're parts of Krishna, we're parts of the absolute truth, we have free will. It's actually rebellion when we want to go against the absolute truth and think that we are not emanating from Krishna, forget that we're emanating from Krishna, and want to be independent on our own, want to think we are something in ourselves separate from being an emanation from Krishna, then that's where all the problems come from. So evil is comes from forgetting that. It comes from a desire of the living entity to go against the absolute truth And they have the ability to do that because they have free will, because that's just the nature of existence, that we are, the absolute truth has, Krishna has different energies. We're the jiva energy. We have minute free will. And we can act against the absolute truth if we want to. Therefore, this is what produces evil and envy and all these things. It's the absence of knowledge and the absence of truth. So it's not so much that we're trying to, in one sense, of course, we're trying to gain enlightenment, but another way of looking at it is we're just trying to become free from ignorance. So we engage in the process, and as Prabhupada says, when we're actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet, such persons have no misgivings about Krishna, and they're factually Brahman. So the only way we can get true knowledge, true realization, we have to have some faith in the beginning and try it out, and then we actually experience it through the grace of Krishna, by service. And then it becomes known to us. So any questions, comments, or other philosophies? Okay, I guess we'll end here then. Hare Krishna.